If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Axar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light and love of the one divine source. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Axar Command. This evening, our topic is Vanguard of the New Era. That's you and me, folks. That's all of us who seem to fall through the slats of conventionality. We are the purveyors of outrageous newness and undaunted new probabilities and possibilities. So to begin our evening, I was happy to find actually on the internet yesterday a couple of poems that I had no copies of, and I had written, I had done these poems as part of a spontaneous meditation that I led, must have been back in 1980 sometime. These poems came through as a gift of spirit when I was leading meditations. So they are actually authored by the Holy Spirit. So we'll take them internally as a meditation as I read them very slowly. And let's start with taking a deep breath. And allow a connection that you have eternally with God to come present for you. You feel those chills. Your body may start to sway backward and forward as mine is. That davening seems to be part of that connection that many of us experience when we tune in. And we ask for the clearance for this evening and the anointing for each person that's listening tonight that would be appropriate for their highest good. We ask that any energies that don't serve us to be cleared now through grace. And we come into the presence of the One. There is one race of people, the human race. There is one heartbeat that resounds in us all. There is one holy breath, breathing life through all forms. There is one great God that is everything, everywhere. There is one common tongue, the language of the heart. There is one life purpose, that of sharing. There is one perfect response, that of loving. There is one song to sing, the song of gratitude. There is one perfect gift, that is appreciation. There is one true religion, the religion of love. There is one perfect service, to be yourself. There is one beloved. Look in the mirror. And the next poem is I Am. Another deep breath. And own this one. I am you, the you that's I. I am creation, earth and sky. I am here beyond, above. I am power, wisdom, love. I am beauty, glory, light. I am grace, bestowing sight. I am the holy sound of God. I am scepter, staff, and rod. I am infinite, boundless, pure. I am the way, eternal, sure. I am the door, the path, the goal. I am the breath of man, the soul. I am the master and the taught. I am the seeker and the sought. I am the freedom, ever free. I am the world you dream, you see. I am the song within all hearts. I am the player of all parts. All that is part of me. I am the truth that sets you free. And that is who we are. And is that we who constitute the vanguard of new momentums upon earth, it is that very consciousness flow that we as a group force are presenting. We emerge out from the mass of consensus beliefs and opinions and present this beautiful, fresh, and new state of being. We have arrived at a place of more expansive vision, we who constitute this vanguard. We have a sense of inclusiveness. We don't think in relationship to the small picture any longer. No wonder we find ourselves not quite able to find a place where we fit anymore in society. That's a good thing. Doesn't feel real great, but it's a good thing. Because if we had fellowship and commonality with the world as it is today, we couldn't say very much to being a vanguard of the new era. Because the new era, in every way you can imagine, is going to be very different from the prevailing things that are right now on the surface of the earth. So goodwill and the common weal has touched our hearts, and we strive to improve the common lot of life in some manner. We're out there doing something, even if it's just being a friend and smiling and having a humor and a good attitude. We're out there in the world trying to improve the atmosphere. You know, everybody is so stressed and worried and insecure, but not the devotees of the Lord. You know, I was talking to someone on the phone the other day, and I kept reminding this person, but you are a devotee of the Lord. These things going on in the world have nothing to do with you at all. You come under a different covenant, a different covering. You have a different lot in life. And so your perspective needs to be that of the devotee of the Lord. The devotee of the Lord is cared for by the Lord, supplied by the Lord, supported by the Lord, positioned by the Lord, defended and protected by the Lord. The devotee has to do absolutely nothing for its own self-survival and provision and protection. That's how the devotee of the Lord really differs from the person that is completely clueless whether or not there is a God, whether or not there is a spiritual dimension to life, whether or not there is value in faith and prayer. You, who are the vanguard of the new era, are the marked devotees of the Lord. So your spirit naturally glows with altruism, and your countenance shines. Do you ever notice how you glow when you're centered in that I Am presence? Oh my gosh. Your face glows like the sun. And you exude friendliness and generosity. That's absolutely characteristic, not only of the vanguard of the new era, but those of us who represent the Ashtar Galactic Command. Boy, we are the glowworms of the universe. We shine. We're friendly. We're cosmic universal citizens, and we exude that sense of well-being. We just live large. This planet is too small for us. We've expanded out into the galaxy to where we've owned the whole territory. That's our domain. We soar. My gosh, I sometimes try to find myself, and I'm throughout the cosmos. I can't see where I end. And if you look, you'll find it's the same for you. You're also way out there expanded in your light field, in your consciousness. In fact, you only end where your consciousness can't imagine anything beyond. So your imagination really sets the limits. And then it's like the Hubble telescope. We keep finding that where we thought the universe ends, it begins another level that we didn't even know was there. And so spiritually, we're doing the same thing. We just keep expanding and expanding and expanding. Wow. And we keep possessing the land of our inheritance, which is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is omniversal. Well, this kingdom of God is what? Just located in your body? Just located on this planet? Just located in the divine throne realms? Well, I don't think so. I think the kingdom of God is everywhere. So we are the eternal optimists, the purveyors of faith and hope. You know, it's impossible to have faith if you know what's going on. You can only have faith in the unseen. Because when it becomes seen, you don't need the faith. So we're learning to be really comfortable and content, some of us. Others will catch up as they can. We're learning to be comfortable with not having answers, with not having definition, without having a clearly defined goal, without really knowing how it's going to all work out or play out. We're getting so we can just kind of dance with the unknown and be kind of user-friendly with it. You know what? We're in a time and an age which is totally in God's hands. This is totally being instrumented from on high and orchestrated from on high. So we just have to keep our ear to the wind and catch the tune and dance to the melody that's being played. But we are the instruments. We're not the facilitators. Well, we're the facilitators in a sense. We're the agencies through which this flow gets work done and gets things accomplished. But we of ourselves are not the doers. We are the conduits for the universal timing and plan of God to source through us and anchor through us in our lives. So the more we can get out of our heads and get out of our plans and get out of our agendas and get out of our attachments to how we think things are supposed to look and be, and we can let the sacred cows of our belief systems go out, you know, just let them loose, just turn them loose. They don't even need to be in your pasture anymore. Let your sacred cows go free. And just be innocent of not knowing for a while, okay? Just be quite happy to breathe in and breathe out and know that God is present wherever you are and all is well. And so when you go into that state, you have this hope that springs up from within you as a tremendous sense of joy and empowerment. And that is the strength that we need now to get us through the times ahead. We have to have that inner fortitude, which only comes through complete yielding in faith to the unseen plan of God. The unseen, unknowable, unfathomable mystery, majesty, and glory of an unfolding ascension program and a transcendency that's occurring, that's marking and lifting every atom in this universe to a new state of being. Wow. And those of us that are somewhat awake and are somewhat on our game, somewhat in our zone of knowingness, we form a vanguard. We're like the third eye in the great celestial bird of ascension, the great dove of ascension. We're like the third eye. We're way out front. And we're the vision carriers, the visionaries. So we have to have a projection of divine vision, which flies on the wings of faith, to step out of the ordinary and be way showers for other people. People will gain faith and confidence by our faith and confidence. They will gain a sense of safety and hope by us being undaunted in the face of things that are collapsing now. We have to hold a steady face, you know, like the stewards and stewardesses on a flight, you know. The cockpit may be going nuts thinking, oh man, we're losing altitude, we may crash, we may have to do an emergency landing. And the stewardesses and the stewards, they're trained to hold their cool. They're trained to hold their cool. So we must train ourselves to hold our cool and not go, oh my God, that's terrible, and side in with fear and insecurity and anxiety as if we didn't know that God is present and all is well. We've got to show a little bit different countenance here on the earth at these times if we're to fulfill our role as the vanguard of the new era. Likewise, we need to be extenders of boundless charity. Charity is a quality of the heart that spontaneously gives of itself. It gives of its energy, its time, its attention, its substance materially, its money, its whatever, because it knows that as much as it gives, it will receive as much and even more, pressed down and running over. Because there's a multiplication factor that comes in when you give out of the spiritual sense of charity. The giving hands of charity will never lack. It's a spiritual principle. You can't possibly give out of a sincere spirit of charity and not receive in return. So we can be quite careless, that is to say, carefree, when it comes in terms of our own provision. So instead of seeing how we can penny pinch, let's see how we can fund support into those things that are helping and blessing other people. Let's be seed sowers so that even in the time when everybody else is maybe going to experience a period of lack, we actually sit with our barns full of grain and our vats overflowing symbolically with wine. That's what the scriptures say. So this is the time when we sow good seed. We sow seeds of charity. We extend beyond the fear that people who are not aware spiritually, that are not awakened, they go into fear, they go into lack, they believe the news, they believe the stock markets, they believe the talking heads. We're not supposed to be part of that paradigm. We have to be the knowers and those who step out in faith and security and surety that we follow the Master as true devotees of the Lord. We follow the Master with absolute confidence because we know who the Master is. We know where the Master is leading. We know the path is sure. We know that we are safe. And we go forth stepping out in absolute boldness. So every age has made mention of those of us who are seemingly born out of time. We just, like I said in the last show, we're loose cannons. We march to a different drumbeat. People are crying and going, woe is me, and we're going along singing them, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and I can do all things through the Christ who lives within me, and God is in his heaven, is all as well. And I mean, we're just totally, seemingly, out in the galaxy somewhere. Well, we are. but we're also very practical, because it's very, very practical to apply spiritual law to your physical life. It's very impractical to live as if this world held the secret to your abundance and your provision and your health and your happiness. We've got to realize sometime that this world is a dream field. It's just what you think it is, what you believe it is, what you project it is. But of itself, it's just energy. You're the one who conditions it to take a formation in your life as a positive manifestation or a manifestation of lack and negativity. You're the one that sets the template for your manifestation. So it's okay to be born out of time. It's okay to be out of step with the world. It's okay to be a visionary. It's okay to live by faith and hope. It's okay to do that. In fact, not only is it okay, it's your mission. It's your God-given duty now. So we express a consciousness which manifests as an era of renaissance. We are the renaissance generation. They will write about us in the history. Those of us that are still on the planet when we've moved on. They will speak about this era and this group of people that rose up as the vanguard of a new renaissance. And this renaissance is characterized by change, rebirth, and revelation. So we're being born again of the spirit. We're casting off those old vestitures that were appropriate for a third density manifestation, but are like really retro when it comes to entering into the new paradigm. And part of that rebirth is the rebirthing of our minds. Our mind has to be transformed by this rebirth experience. It has to be transformed from a carnal third density mind into the Christ conscious mind, that anointed mind. And so we're allowing the Holy Spirit to rise up and shine away the clouds of limited concepts and belief systems, and to reveal truth to us, to magnify truth in our minds. That's what the Holy Spirit's mission assignment is. And that's called revelation. So it's the revealing of that which has heretofore been covered up by the cloaks of the ego mind, the lower mind, the 3D mind. But we don't need that aspect of the consciousness to go into the new paradigm, which is why you can't remember your past. You're not developing early onset dementia. You are simply having those programs erased that are obsolete. You don't really need to remember a great deal of stuff. There's always the awareness that comes present and the knowing in each given moment that enables you to handle the present moment. And you handle it from a higher sense of the self. You don't handle it from data bank input or cellular memory or reflex impulsive actions. To move into consciousness, you live above the conditioned grooves in the third dimensional brain. You live above that into the divine mind, often called the Christ mind, or the Christ consciousness, which again is a consciousness of great spiritual clarity. So we are here to improve the human condition through injecting new thought and new energetic infusions into the prevailing social structures. We've been doing that for some time. And usually if we get too radical, they extrude us from their company because they don't like change. The old entrenched forces kind of like to keep things the way they are. But they come beating a path to your door and banging on that door when their institutions begin to fall and crumble. Then it's like, what was it that person was saying? What was that person? I didn't want to hear them then, but I so need to hear what you have to say now about how can I do it a different way. What was it that you were saying? Please tell me. So the coinage of the realm in the near future is going to be your knowledge and your awareness. It's not going to be money. It's going to be ruling the world anymore. It's going to be information and enlightened information, not just, the stuff that we've all tried and tried and tried historically, and it's been found never to work. We've got to find new answers. And they have to come from a level beyond the human limited consciousness. They have to be birthed out of that reborn spirit that we are and that we have. So today differs from the past in that there is a considerably large number of awakened light workers. And we have moved from being a subculture to having an increasingly potent voice in world affairs. In fact, if you could see the spiritual level of many people in prominent world positions today, you'd be amazed. They're not aware, in most cases, of who they are in terms of their levels of mastery and initiation. But you can see again by their action, by the effect of their voice, by the effect of their presence, that they are highly evolved souls. You can tell by the principles that they espouse that they are coming from a universal consciousness of wanting the whole planet to benefit, and not just a single nation or a single ideology or a single platform or position. In fact, I had a really interesting experience this couple days ago. I'll share it with you. I was going over in my mind, well, what the heck do I believe in terms of this political, this voting process? It's like there's elements in each one of the candidates that I think is a good idea, but do I really believe them personally? Do I really think that that's actually my truth? And so I sat down and I asked myself questions, and I suggest this as a spiritual exercise that you might like to try as well. If you aren't sure about your stance on a issue, sit down and ask yourself, well, what do you believe about such and such? What is your belief about this issue? And then answer yourself. Just answer yourself. And you'll probably attach it to a feeling initially. So, well, I feel. And if you're like me, you'll find that probably you have absolutely good arguments, pro and con, for almost anything. It's like, well, on one side, this really would, you know, sounds logical and practical and good. And on the other side, this also can be seen to be very logical, practical, and good. So the only way you can come to a really clear place is to project it on down the timeline and see the ramifications of implementing that particular momentum. Where does it lead, and what is the purpose? If you ask yourself, well, what is the purpose being served here? It will ultimately take you beyond the personality, ego structures, and conditioned patterns and belief systems into a universal place where you can see so clearly. And I was amazed because before I was... I was trying to fit myself into some place in terms of Republican or Democrat or liberal or whatever, you know, all the terms. And I didn't fit in any category anywhere. I just did not fit. And I thought, well, what do I believe? And when I asked myself questions, and I went through religion and finances and policies and some of the things that people are voting now upon, I was amazed at the clarity I came to. And you know what? You are only responsible for living the amount of light and enlightenment and truth as you see it. You know, you don't have to hang your hat eternally on a principle or a belief system and say, well, that's it, I'll never diverge from that. God help you if you ever get to that place. You're stagnant. When you are moving with spirit, you're born again every second, because spirit is born again every second. Every second is new and bright and shining with virginal qualities that have never been besmirched by any conditioned momentum. So, randomity of mind, that ability to quickly change and see from a different perspective, is one of the attributes of enlightenment. It's not hunkering down for dear death to a belief system or being loyal to a philosophy or a religion or doctrine or dogma of science or religion or politics or financial protocol or anything. It's enabling yourself to see through new eyes, as if you had never seen it before. And you keep turning at and looking at it from different angles. and see, well, how does it apply here and how does it apply there? And projecting it down the timeline, what's the impact on future generations of this decision? And then you can see how trends and momentums are seeded and how we, the vanguard of the new era, we need to vote our conscience and our awareness and the things that are closest in alignment with what is real and practical and true for us, realizing that nobody's ever going to fit the bill totally but yourself, because your own consciousness is quite unique based on your own experiences. But you know what? Nobody can judge you, because if anybody walked exactly in your shoes, had the experience and the conditioning and everything that you've walked out in your life, they would be exactly like you. They would believe like you, they would act like you, they would do the things that you do, and they would make the choices that you make. And that's true of everybody. Everyone is doing the best they know how, given their karma, given their indoctrination, given their conditioning, given their belief systems, and given their history of experience, given their past lives. You know, all of these things go together to make up who you are as an individual. We're the product of countless lifetimes and immersion in different environments and cultures and religions and experiences. We're like that multicolored Easter egg I told you about that's dipped into the vat of many, many colors, and each one emerges with a slight different coloration. We're like that white Easter egg that emerges with different patterns and those oil colors and the Easter color. So let's be born in this renaissance of celebrating our particular perspective and not making it either right or wrong. It simply is how you see things right now. And tomorrow it may be different. The next hour it may be different. Something may energetically insert itself into your awareness that suddenly, wow, it's like, ooh, epiphany. Like Oprah says, she has an epiphany. Well, you can have an epiphany any second when you're willing to risk changing your mind. You know, that's considered to be vacillation and inconsistency and all sorts of labels people put onto that. But I know from my own teachers, the spiritual masters that I work with, they're just like that. They'll change in a second and go in a totally different direction if they sense in the heavenly atmosphere a different move of spirit. They're always got their ear to the wind to see which way is the wind blowing. And when it likens the spirit of the living God is like a wind. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it's going. You don't know where it's going to blow next. You know, spirit is like that. And we need to have that room, that space, that encompassment within ourself, that freedom to allow it to blow us where it will. I often like to visualize myself as a leaf, just surrendered to the wind. Try that. Try visualizing yourself. Just feel yourself really light. Light. You're floating. You're a leaf on the wind. But you know the wind is God. So you can just relax. Just rest in the Lord. Just rest in the Lord. Allow the wind of God, the sweet breeze of Jesus, the sweet breath of the Holy Spirit, just carry you. And it always puts you down really lightly where you're supposed to be. It'll just gently spiral you down to the earth. And you just, there's no bumping, there's just a gentle placing. Then the next current of wind comes and lifts you airborne into the sky and carries you to yet another place and gradually spirals you down and gently lands you softly upon the earth. Let your life flow like that, beloveds. That's the life of the devotee of the Lord. We're so carefree, my gosh. No devotee that's truly yielded and surrendered has a care in the world. My gosh. We know if we lose our house, we'll get another house. We'll have a new experience of a new house. will have a new experience of moving to a new environment, a new location. If somebody we love leaves our life, we know love is a constant in the universe. There will always be love in your life. Another one will come. There will be always love in your life. Things come and things go. Allow things to have their season in your life. And when they're in that season, be with them. You know, your children grow up so fast, those of us that have children. My heavens. It's like they're a baby one minute and the next they're grown and moving off with starting their own family. So when you have little children, let that be your spiritual path. Let that be your meditation. Really try to see the spark of the living God in your child. Take your child as a guru, as something fresh from heaven, and learn from that child. Don't try to condition them into the gerbil cage mentality. Explore with them. What manner of master be you? Let me see this little Christ, this little Krishna that's come into my family. My goodness, you're fresh from God, you're fresh from the galaxy. Maybe you're fresh from another planetary civilization. Or maybe you're one of the great masters of ancient times that's been reborn. I mean, who knows? Your child could be anything. And many of you who are light workers, you're giving birth to some of the great, great virtuosos in music and art and science and religion and spiritual awakening. Maybe your little child was Vivekananda or Yogananda or whoever. My gosh, just imagine. But enjoy the season you're in. You youngsters, my gosh, enjoy your youth. We all want to grow up so fast when we're young. And then when we're older, we all want to return to our youth. So enjoy the season of your life, the cycle of your life. When you're married, enjoy your mate. Enjoy your sexual expression. Enjoy what comes with marriage and romance. And it's such a delicious, heady time of life when you're birthing your children and you're having a romantic affair with your husband and you're building your home and you're nurturing your brood. That's a beautiful, rich, gorgeous time of life. It doesn't take a thing from your spiritual life because everything in your life is spiritual. It's all part of your training for mastery. And your problems and trials and worries are simply those tests that we have to go through to see where we built in strength. You'll never know if you have a strength or a quality that's been built in and strengthened in you unless you have a test. And so the trials, tribulations, and tests that kind of come along and shake you up, those are precisely like you would do if you were going to hang a heavy picture on the wall. You'd hammer in a big, strong picture hanger or nail, and then you put some weight on it to see how much it's going to hold before you hung the picture. So the Lord does that too. He kind of tests you to see how much strength you've built up in yourself. And you notice that as you practice your spiritual sadhana, your daily spiritual exercises, that you are constantly strengthening your inner muscles, your inner muscles of consciousness. And the things that used to really shake you up and scare you and cause you to vacillate and doubt and worry, after a while, you notice that those same things come back in a cycle to test you again, and you don't even flinch. You don't even bat an eye. It's like, oh man, I can't believe how that used to scare me when that happened, and now I don't even notice it. And so you get bigger tests that you will notice. So this earth life is a dream, but it's also a training dream. It's a training arena so that you can develop mastery over situations, circumstances, events, so that you can wield creative consciousness, wield energies and forces appropriately without abusing power, without misusing power, without overamping, without wasting energy. You learn to administer the flows of energy to be goal-fitting with what you need to accomplish as an agent of unfolding the divine plan. You're here to become a co-creator, a co-worker with God, with hierarchy. And so you must be strong. Emotional strength, mental strength, physical strength, spiritual strength. But most of all, the inner nervous system needs to be very, very strong, because God is like electricity. You've got to have a strong inner wiring, inner circuitry to carry the powerful voltage of anointing. The anointing energy of God. You've seen people fall out in the Holy Spirit, you know. Sometimes Benny Hinn or one of the charismatic pastors will put his hand out towards a person, sometimes doesn't even touch them. Sometimes he just walks in front of them or by them and they'll fall over. That's when the anointing is so powerful on a instrument of God that it actually causes people to fall down. They fall out in the Holy Spirit. I've had it happen to me many times. And it's wonderful. It feels like this whoosh of light just goes through you and gently lays you back. You don't get a sense of falling. You get a sense of being laid down by the Holy Spirit. And I've been shot through the air several feet and fallen right on my back across the stairs, and it's never even hurt me because I was laid down gently like that leaf by the Holy Spirit. Even though physically it looked like I slammed down hard, my experience was falling like a leaf very gently because I was in the Holy Spirit. So that energy is very, very, very powerful. Sometimes you'll see people jolt or jerk. In the Eastern tradition, that's called kriyas, or purificatory movements that clear your nervous system. Physical kriyas cause you to jerk and twist and go into yogic positions sometimes, or go through cleansings. Emotional kriyas cause you to cry or to release somehow emotionally. Some people go into fits of laughter when they're under the Holy Spirit. It's called holy laughter. But this is purifying the emotional body. Some people go into mental kriyas. The mental kriyas, usually all your doubts and things, your gerbil cage, monkey mind starts to get activated. You feel like you're going nuts. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will just bring clarity. The peace of God that passes understanding. Just like it just shines away all that garbage. But the garbage had to be stirred up and brought to the surface, and then it just goes. That's why you're given a mantra by the master, generally speaking, because the mantra keeps you focused so that that karma of that gerbil cage mind, that monkey mind that's always flitting here and there and jumping from limb to limb of subjects and dilemmas and problems, that monkey mind actually gets really fascinated with the sound of the name of God, and it leaves you alone. You can slip past that lower mind into the higher consciousness and awareness. So that's why you repeat a mantra. That's why you repeat, or you sing a tone, or you sing hue, or you sing anihue, or any one of the mantras, or the om. You get to slip past that gerbil cage mind. So this is part of what we're here to do. So even as we have progressed from the outer fringes of society into the mainstream, we come with a whole different agenda. We're not out there just to make a paycheck and to survive and to pay the mortgage and whatever. We are actually on Earth assignment. We go into the mainstream simply to be a force for good in the midst of the chaos. That's all we do. We bring the peace of God. We bring the kingdom of God wherever we walk. And because we've come from the mainstream, we need to exit it, become enlightened and aware, activated and awakened, and then enter back into the mainstream. You know, usually you're put right back in where you came out of because that's, you know, your turf. That's where you can shine best. So we arise with shining eyes from every race and every creed and every country and every age and every gender. I just think it's so sweet when I meet other commanders from the Ashtar Command. We may not speak the same language. We may not worship the same form of God in the same way. We may have a totally different lifestyle. We may come from a communist country or under a dictator, or we may be in a democratic country, or we may be in whatever, all different kinds of countries, but you'll recognize that vibration. Wow. It's like home. It's a homeboy or a homegirl. You really feel, here is somebody from your hood. This is somebody from the hood. You know these people. Even though you've never met, there's that unmistakable stamp of one who has come from the cosmos on Earth assignment. And those are your true family. Not that you're going to get along with them all necessarily. You may fight like all family members do from time to time. But there's a certain commonality, a certain stamp of commonality upon the soul and upon the expression, upon the overriding objective and purpose of your life. So this is the family and the community. We've all wanted spiritual community. But you know what? The planet is our spiritual community. And right now we have a cyberspace community in our webs and websites and in our by the way, people keep asking me if I have a website. Yes, we have a private one called Ashtar Galactic Command, an MSN site, which is now migrated over to multiple. So we are Ashtar Galactic Command at multiply. Well, like rabbit. Think of multiplying rabbit. At multiply.com. And then we have a Ning site, N-I-N-G, Ashtar Galactic Commanders at Ning.com. And that is a public site. It's full of wonderful media and yummy goody things. And then our friend over in Sweden, Commander Ben Arion, has a beautiful site called AshtarCommand.net. And there's others, too. There's other wonderful Ashtar Command sites. But those are ones, the ones I've just mentioned, are the ones that I personally belong to and often submit various things to as part of my expression. I also have a web page here at bbsradio.com where you find contact information for me. And it gives a little bit of the services that I offer if it can be of assistance to any of you in your awakening and unfoldment. And anyway, my email is there, my phone number, and you just click on my show. If you scroll down to Wednesday on bbsradio.com to my slot, and you click on my show, Voice of the Ashtar Command, it will take you right to my webpage. And if you click on to the left of the each page in BBS, you'll see archives. If you click on the archives, it will take you to all my archive shows. And you can download and listen to them. And they need to be listened to, actually, many times because they are highly encoded. And that each person comes at a different level of awakening. And you, again, are not the same person in any given moment. So each time you listen, you'll be in a different consciousness. In fact, I try to listen to at least one of my shows every single day. You might think, well, why do you listen to your own shows? Because I'm a vehicle for the Holy Spirit, and it's the Holy Spirit that's speaking, not me. I mean, I'm the vehicle, but the Spirit of Truth is the same Spirit that speaks to everyone when they're attuned and connected to Divine Source. So that's another thing. Those of us that are the light workers, we're connected increasingly more clearly, more nearly, and more dearly to Divine Source. You learn to walk with God in perfect holiness and peace. You live with God. You realize God is in front of you, behind you, to your right, to your left, above, below, within, and wherever you are, God is. So our voices are that of the awakening conscience. We are actually the collective promptings of the collective soul voice of humanity. And so our writings, our vocal patterns, our radio shows, our visions, our ideas, our websites, our articles, our blogs, all of these things are responsible for sparking a growing public awareness. And they're beginning to assume responsibility more and more for taking care of the planet Earth. We're sparking and birthing that awareness, that green awareness, that stewardship. And we want our planet to be beautiful. We want to have clean energy sources. We want to have governing councils that represent truly the people and the global well-being of all life. I think we're all tired of certain nations kind of being like little forgotten stepchildren just because they don't have oil or some commodity. They have human beings. The greatest commodity that exists in the universe is a human being. There's nothing more precious than the human being. So we need to cherish all life forms and each other and find ever more loving and effective ways to meet the needs, the housing needs, the clothing needs, the educational needs, the medical care needs, and the needs for love and connection that we all as human beings have. So we are actually the systems busters of outmoded approach. We're the evangels of outrageous individuality, even as we embrace the ideal of universal unity. In truth, we are rapidly becoming the most powerful force on the planet. For our power comes not from the ego and not from the selfish separated self, but our power comes from the power of our awakened divinity and our love. There is nothing more powerful, beloved, than your love. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Nothing your love cannot heal, bridge, awaken, circumvent. Do you know that when you are in a state of radiant love, you actually raise your vibrations beyond disease, beyond accidents, beyond even visibility of the dark forces? You become invisible to all the dark minions. You become invisible to them. That is your cloak of invisibility, is purity, innocence, and love. Wow. Now that's the right way to fall through the slats. You slip right out of the nooses of hell. So remember that you don't fit in the world the way the world is. You have come to birth a new world, a new era, a new generation, and to open up new corridors for new inserts of reality, new momentums, new ideal-driven projections that then people who have the wherewithal and the mission assignment to build on those momentums can come right in, catching the vision and building upon what you have inserted energetically. Now this is where our selfless service comes in, because most of us won't be on the planet to see the fruition of many of the things that we have invented. We're not going to be given credit for many of the things that were birthed through us. You might have a beautiful idea, and lo and behold, somebody has already written a book about it. You may have an idea to do something or invent something, and lo and behold, somebody's already got it working and has a patent on it. So we need to realize that we are inlets of grace. We are inlets of creative potential and creative ideation. But we of ourselves do nothing. It is the Father within us, the Divine Father, Mother, God, Source within us, that does all things. And so the glory and the honor and the praise and the recognition goes only to God. And you have the joy of knowing that you served in birthing the earth into its new manifestation, into the fifth globe of the kingdom of God upon earth. And then we're off to another place to do yet another outrageous job. And another bodacious vanguard will be birthed through our efforts in yet another galaxy, awaiting our creative touch. So I hope that this has expanded your sense of your purpose somewhat tonight, and that you can become increasingly comfortable in knowing that you are loved and protected and provided for. God knows what you need. Remember, you are God's incarnation. Do you think God is going to neglect his incarnation? And when you know you are that and you live according to that, everything comes to you at the right time, in the right way, and through grace. So let's chant So Hum. And this is what you chant naturally with your breath in and out, which when it merges, when the breaths emerge in that rebirthing type of breathing, it becomes the Om. Take a deep breath. So Hum. So Hum. God evening, and God bless you. Adonai.